blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the 4th chapter, the first 22 verses. Acts 4, verses 1 through 22. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything and that is thy neighbor's. Acts 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, and which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them, and that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Marianne Brunn, who was brought to the hospital yesterday, and also Mr. John Vinnie, who was in the hospital and is home again. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come into thy house, so we may read it also in thy word, that thou hast instituted the public worship service, and that thou would have men not only to bow their knees in their secret chambers, and to read thy word within their homes amongst their children, but it is thy will that they should also gather from Sabbath to Sabbath day in thy house of prayer, that also in a public way thy name may be acknowledged, thy word may be brought, and that thy institution may be honored, so that thou may also gather thy church, thy kingdom, together here below unto thyself, in order that thou may receive them into that place of eternal glory in that day of the great harvest. Lord, then we with our children are in the time, and we may come also in the way of thy goodness and long-suffering, in the way of thy providence again in thy house of prayer. And we have considered in this past week the pouring forth of thy Holy Spirit, so that 3,000 were pricked in their heart. And now we may read it again, that another 5,000 may believe. Lord, so thou didst in a manifest way gather thy church in great numbers in the beginning. And thou didst say when thou wast upon this earth, and when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth. Lord, thou knowest how it is in our days, that it is so long time that we may acknowledge that it may be seen in the midst of us, that this one, that one may be pricked in the heart. But Lord, we do not know the secret workings of thy Holy Spirit, and that which is not manifest unto us, that will be manifest in that great day of days. Oh, could it please thee to look upon us and upon our dear children, and that we may not remain our whole life without that most necessary blessing, but that thy Spirit may accompany thy word in the day in which we live, and that we also may be born again, that we also may receive the blessings of thy Spirit. Or we may acknowledge thee that thou hast given rain from heaven upon the earth in the week that is gone by. Lord, we have besought thee for it, and we are so undeserving of it. And thou hast poured it forth in great measure, that there may be growth, that there may be abundance. Lord, that thou may humble our wretched and our proud hearts before thee, not only for this blessing, but also for the so many blessings that we do not see and do not realize, that we take so for granted in our life. And thy upholding hand in the way of providence in this world. But Lord, we cannot do without the showers of thy Holy Spirit, the former and the latter rain also in the midst of thy church. Thou knowest the drought in which we are living, in the midst of thy people. Oh, that thou may look upon us again in this day, in the time in which we live, to send forth thy Spirit in a rich measure again, and that thou may do for us what we do not deserve, and that thou may remember us in thy mercy and in thy grace, that thou may give thy Spirit to awaken those that are dead, that by thy Spirit they may, and thou may cast out Satan, that strong man armed out of our hearts, that by thy Spirit thou may knock upon the door of the heart of thy bride. Open unto me, and my love, my dove, my sister, my spouse, and that thou may awaken her again, that thou may restore unto thy church the joy of thy salvation, that their mouth also may go open again in praises to thee, as the helper of the needy, and as he that will lift up the needy from the dunghill. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one. Lord, instruct the children and the youth, not only for the matters of this life, but oh, that they also in the days of their youth may receive the power of thy Holy Spirit, that may make them willing to leave all of the vanity of this world behind, and that there may be a desire born in their young hearts to look upon, to remember their Maker in the days of their youth, and that they may be drawn to love Thee, and that their hearts may go out after Thee in truth, to look upon us as parents. Lord, Thou knowest all our shortcomings. Thou knowest all our failings in the bringing up of our children. Oh, that Thou would forgive all that is sinful. And despite what we are, that Thou may use Thy word, bless Thy word, and that Thou may instruct us also. That our mouth may go open, that we may not be ashamed to speak, and to warn also from ways of sin and evil, that we may use our fatherly authority to lead our families in the way that they ought to go, that we would not be judged as Eli, who did not restrain his children, and that Thou may bless our efforts. Look Thou upon us as consistory members, when we have gathered together in the week that is gone by, and when we have discussed the many concerns in the midst of the congregation. Lord, that Thou may bless also the labors of our hands, and that Thou may give us also wisdom in dealing day by day and week by week, that the labors may not be heavy, but that Thou may make them light, that it may be an easy yoke and a light burden to be in the office. And that Thou may bless the labors in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, that Thou may send forth also more servants into Thy vineyard. Oh, that Thou may work in the hearts of men, that the need may be bound upon us, and that Thy Spirit may go forth to call and to send, and that in the midst of the congregations there may be a beholding of the face of their teachers, and that Thy kingdom may come, and that Thy church may be edified. Wilt Thou look upon those that are sick, be with the young girl who was brought to the hospital in the day of yesterday. Lord, may Thou supply in all her need which is known unto Thee, and bring her safely home to her family once again. And may Thou also open her eyes and bless this way for her and for her brothers and sisters and family together. Lord, that they may also be given to see how frail is the human frame, and that we may learn to seek Thee while Thou art still to be found. Look upon him that has come home again from the hospital. Lord, be with him in all the pain of the body, and wilt Thou supply for him in the week to come, that he may be enabled to receive the help that is necessary for the body. Bless also this way. Oh, instruct him and his wife within in mercy. And so look upon us as a congregation, a young and old, in this Thy holy day. Oh, Thy servant did in Thy house spread his hands unto heaven, and he did beseech Thee that when Thy people did come to ask Thee from this place Thy blessing, when they would repent and turn from their iniquity, that Thou would hear from heaven Thy dwelling place. And Lord, the cloud of Thy glory and of Thy presence Oh, that did attend that service, so that thou didst show that thou wast among them. Lord, could it please thee to look on us also, and that thy spirit may be manifestly, feelingly, believingly in the midst of us in this morning hour. Oh, that thou may prick the hearts, that thou may give true conversions, that thou may bind the seriousness of our life upon our souls, and that we could not go away from this place as we have come, but that thy spirit may bring thy word in with power, and that we may learn to smite upon our breast, that we may learn to weep, and that thy dear Son may become precious and necessary unto us. Feed thy people for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 427, stanzas 5 and 6. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. This thing is from the Lord Almighty. It is a marvel in our eyes. Man cannot understand it rightly, nor fathom it in any wise. Stanzas 5 and 6 of Psalter 427. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. That is, congregation, the word of the Lord by the Apostle Peter. To whom is he speaking? He is speaking unto the Sanhedrin. Peter has been called to give an account. He must be speaking about what he has done, because he has done what was in their eyes an awful thing. He has done what is in their eyes a crime. He has healed a man, a lame man, a crippled man, so that he may walk again. But he has healed this man in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the church, and they are calling the apostles to give an account of their deed. And in their hearts they are raging against these men, but we read they are not able to do anything about it because of the fear of the people. Peter, he quotes here the Holy Scriptures, Psalm 118. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Thus, already in the Old Testament, we read that the psalmist, he is speaking about the future. And he speaks, boys and girls, he speaks about builders, the stone which the builders refused. Thus, builders, when they are building a building, and then especially when these builders are building the temple, when they are building the house of God, then they built that house out of stones. And then it was necessary and that they are choosing stones. One by one, they choose the stones for the temple. And then they choose those stones which are going to go at the foundation of that house. And then they see this stone lying and they say, no, that stone we do not use. Why not? Because it is not so beautiful. And that stone does not look like it ought to have a place, perhaps, in the foundation of that building. Thus, that stone that is despised, it is set to the side. But those builders, in making that decision concerning that stone, make such a great mistake. And then the psalmist says that mistake that will be overruled. The stone which the builders refused, that stone that they set aside, that stone that they rejected, the Lord, in the way of His providence, is going to overrule their decision, and that is now the stone that He is going to make to be the very head of the corner. The most important one, that stone upon which that entire temple is resting. Thus, those builders make a mistake. There are many mistakes, congregation, that are made in this world. Some mistakes are more serious mistakes than others. The psalmist, he is foretelling many years before already of a mistake that is going to be made not only by common persons, but a mistake that is going to be made by the leaders in the church. It's also possible that they make mistakes, some more serious than others. But here the psalmist foretells about a mistake by those leaders that is a foundational mistake. That is a fundamental mistake. A mistake which, if they will persevere in this way, it will be for them and also for others fatal. Thus, what a weighty matter. What a weighty matter to be set in the place, in the position of a leader in the house of God. For when we will lead you astray, when we will lead you in the wrong way, then we have to stand one day with you before the judgment seat of God to give an account of that which we have said to you, what we have shown to you, and that way that we have pointed out to you for the need of your never-dying soul. Therefore, in this morning, we wish to consider the words of our text, which you can find in this portion, Acts 4, thereof the 12th verse. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So far the words of our text. The only name by which we must be saved. First, we must be saved. Second, the name by which we must be saved. The only name by which we must be saved. First, we must be saved. Second, the name by which we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. Thus, congregation, Peter speaks about salvation, whereby we must be saved. Thus, what does it mean to be saved? Children, what do you think that means, to be saved? Maybe you save some things also sometimes. Maybe you save your money. Say we save it so that we can use it later. We do not want to waste it. Or a piece of candy. You say, I do not eat it right away. No, but I will save it. I will save it for a later time. You receive something from your grandmother or your grandfather, and you do not want it to be destroyed. Do not want your little sister, your little brother to get it, to wreck it. So you put it in a place where you say, I will save it and I will keep it, so that it will not be destroyed. To save. To save. Now we read in this previous chapter that there was a man who was saved. In what way was that man saved? Well, that man, he was, we read, lame. He could not walk. And we read that that man was saved, that he could walk again. Thus, saved from what? That man was saved from a miserable life. That man was saved from a life wherein he could not work, a life wherein he had to sit and beg. Thus, a man that was saved. We read that often in the Bible about those who were saved. Those who were saved from their leprosy. Those who were saved from their blindness. Those who were saved from their deafness, from their dumbness, etc. And now what does Peter say in the words of our text? He says, we must be saved. Why is that, children? Are we lame? Are we deaf? Are we dumb? Do we have leprosy? Maybe. Maybe there is one who has serious disease. Maybe there is one who is in misery that also needs in such a way to be saved. But Peter does not speak about this. No, Peter uses what was natural, that is the temporal, the natural salvation of this man, the healing of this man, that he is saved from beggary, that he is given strength in his feet. This lame man, he uses what is natural and he brings this over to speak about that which is spiritual. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thus, the natural deliverances that we read in that word of God, they are for us a picture that is not just us, no, but we read of God's servants, the apostles, how that they are setting those natural healings as a picture of that which is spiritual. And indeed, the natural deliverances, they are actually flowing out, in fact, from that which is spiritual. Isaiah says, the inhabitants shall say, no more I am sick. Why? Because, he says, they shall be forgiven their iniquity. John writes this, he heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thus, he speaks first about that which is spiritual. He will be their God. They shall be his children. And then afterwards, he speaks about that which is natural, that God shall, because of this, wipe away all tears from their eyes. Thus, the natural benefits are not the first, but it is the spiritual and the natural. They are flowing out of that spiritual. And what does Peter say? We must be saved. No, not in the first place from our temporal miseries, but in the first place from our spiritual misery, which is so much greater. We must be saved. That is, congregation, not our word. That is the word of God. And this is not what mere men have spoken, but this is men who have spoken, who we read, they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Thus it is the Holy Spirit himself that is speaking unto men. We must be saved. Do you believe that? That also you must be saved. Yes, indeed, we are sure that you believe this. But congregation, do you ever feel what the apostle is saying here, that we must be saved? There came a time that 3,000 persons, 3,000 religious persons, oh, they have come into the temple of the Lord. But there came a moment in their life that they experienced this in their heart, that it became so real, that it became so true to them, and that we must be saved. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do that is that we might be saved? There came a moment for that Philippian jailer, a moment that he is asking the apostles, what shall I do? What shall I do for what? Oh, what shall I do to be saved? Congregation, the entire scriptures, from the first page to the last page of the Holy Scriptures, what are they speaking about? They are speaking about salvation. That is the entire purpose of that Word of God. That Word of God is not given to satisfy our curiosity. No, that Word of God is given unto us for a very practical purpose. The Word of God is a revelation. The Word of God is a revelation of our need to be saved. We must be saved. And it is a revelation of how that a man may be saved. No, must be saved. But before that a person is looking, before that a person is desiring to know how that he can be saved, then it is necessary that he feel something of this. First, that he must be saved. In congregation, by nature, we do not feel it. How is it in this morning? Peter says, we must be saved. But how is it in this morning with us? How is it in this morning when we have come to the house of God? Do we also have such an impression in this morning as the apostle is saying here? O congregation, how awful! How awful it is when we do not feel anything, that we must be saved. When at the same time it is actually reality that we must be saved. But an awful thing to be lying in a spiritual death, to feel nothing of this, to know nothing of this, and to care nothing about this at all. And that is the reason that it is declared in the Holy Word of God, oh, have you? Oh, we may ask ourselves that question, have we ever in our life come to that moment that the Lord has impressed upon our heart that also I must be saved? What do that people need to be saved from? King Saul wanted to be saved from embarrassment. He said, honor me now in the presence of the elders of the people. That is what we all want to be saved from in this world, from embarrassment. We want to receive honor in this world. Cain wanted to be saved from death. Then he spoke to the Lord. And he says, Lord, everyone that sees me, everyone that finds me, they are going to slay me. Thus the Lord set a mark upon Cain that
lest anyone finding him should slay him. Or he wanted to be saved from death. Do you too? Read in God's word of Simon the sorcerer. He wanted to be saved from punishment. You want to be saved from punishment, two children? Then we read, he asked God's servant, pray for me. Oh, pray for me, so that none of these things which you have spoken, that they would come upon me. And they all missed something. Oh, they wanted to be saved from embarrassment, saved from death, saved from punishment, but they missed something. And what is it? They did not need, they did not feel the need to be saved from sin. Only to be saved from the consequences of sin. But to be saved from the consequences of sin, that is now the portion of every person in this world. But the Holy Spirit of the Lord is working something else. And what is the Holy Spirit of the Lord doing on the day of Pentecost with 3,000 people, but also later, as we read here, 5,000 more? Or the Holy Spirit is working a hatred, not only to the consequences of sin, but a hatred and a need and a desire that I may be saved from sin itself. Congregation, ask yourself in this morning, do we know anything of this desire? Or has sin become loathsome in our eyes? Or did you ever need to be saved from the guilt of sin? That you said with God's servant, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Oh, did you ever need to be saved from the pollution of sin? Wash me. Make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. Oh, is it the consequences of sin? Or do we need to be saved from sin itself? Do we need to be saved from the dominion of sin? Oh, that we may ask with the psalmist, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Oh, that I would not walk in my life in the way of sin, that I may be kept from sin on every side, that my heart may not sin, and that I may not sin in my life. Oh, do you ever need to be saved from the separation that is due to sin? The separation from God because of my sin? Oh God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee. We must be saved. We must be saved from the root cause of all our misery. Sin itself. Then we also will be saved from the consequences of our sin. Misery itself. No, that does not mean that all the miseries in this world are going to disappear. But all to be saved from sin, that means that the Lord gives a peace in the heart. A peace in the soul, rest, already in this world. Then the afflictions that we have to experience in this life, they are no more a punishment, but they become the chastisement of a father. Oh, then death itself, the consequence, the great consequence of sin, because the wages of sin is death. Oh, then death itself, that becomes nothing more than a passage into eternal life. We must be saved. Why? We must be saved because we are lost. Because we are lost to the slavery of Satan in the service of sin. Oh, did it ever weigh upon your heart? Loving to serve sin, loving to serve even as the prodigal walked in the way of the world. Loving the allurements of the world, loving the pleasures of the world, with no desire to return and no thought anymore of his father and no sorrow that he has departed away from his father. Traveling congregation without care, without concern, on a broad way that is leading to an everlasting destruction. Ready to fall headlong therein. And therefore, what is the hope of man? The only hope of man is a salvation that is a one-sided work of the Lord. Why? Because we need to be stopped upon our mad career. Oh, because we need an almighty hand of God to stop a rebel that is continuing on his way and has no desire to return unto God anymore. We must be saved. We must be saved even from our ignorance that we need to be saved. Oh, we need our ears to be opened. We need our eyes to be opened. We need our heart to be melted. We need our affections to be made pure, and that they may go out after the true and after the living God. Oh, we need our will to be renewed, that we may be a willing people in the day of His power. And then what will we experience? We must be saved. Oh, then it will become the most urgent need of our whole life. I must be saved because I am lost. I must be saved. Why? Because I cannot live without God in the world anymore. I must be saved. Why? Because as the heart panteth for the brooks of water, so longs my soul after thee, O God. O congregation, must you also be saved? Oh, it is this great need that is driving a person to seek to be saved. It is this great need that is driving a person to seek to take away that separation between God and my soul. It is this great need that makes a person to begin to walk so carefully over this world, that makes him so tender in the sight of a holy and of a righteous God. Oh, that walk, a walk in which I will no longer be an offense to the true people of the Lord. A walk in which I will no longer be an offense in the eyes of a holy God. Oh, in the places that we go, in the clothing that we wear, in the activities of our life, do you think, young people, that they will go there then to the Empress Theater and watch movies? No. No, then the way of the world that is becoming sin in the life of that people, their walk. Why? Because I must be saved. And then my conversation changes. Then it is not the foolish conversation that I used to have with my friends. No, but then my conversation becomes so different. Why? Because I must be saved. Oh, then there is a desire to hear a conversation, to hear God's children. Oh, tell me something, how it was when you were saved. How it was when the Lord stopped you. Tell me something, how it is when the Lord led you from step to step. Why? Because I myself, need to be saved. Oh, a different walk, a different conversation. Also the meditations, or even the very meditations of the heart of the people, they are changing. What do we read in the Word of God? Oh, my delight that is in the law of the Lord. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, that Word of God, that house of God, the preaching of God's servants. Oh, this is what they desire to meditate upon, to think upon. Why? Because I must be saved. It is true. We still live in this world. It is true. I still have to do my work. It is true. I still have to go to school. I still have to study. But this is all secondary. And why is it now secondary? Because there is something else that has come in the first place. There is something else that has come in the foreground. Because I am traveling, I see it. I see it so clearly. I am traveling to a never, never ending eternity. And that life that is so, so very short. And life that is so, so very certain. That any moment I can drop, as it were, into the bottom of that eternal pit. Why is all this life becomes so secondary? Because I must be saved. Congregation, do you believe it? Do you feel it? Is religion more than notion? Has it ever become more than notion in your life? Are there those that are not strangers of what the apostle is saying? There is one lesson that is so necessary for the people to learn. And that is so difficult to learn. A lesson that is often taking the people many years to learn it. What is that lesson? Is it that I must be saved? No. That is a lesson that takes one moment. One moment. That is a lesson that the Lord is giving in that new birth. That is a lesson that takes the opening of the eyes. Now there is another lesson. And what is that lesson? Not, I must be saved, but I must be saved. That is now a lesson that is not taking one moment. That is a lesson that is often taking many years. I must be saved. And why does that lesson take so very many years? Because my name in pride and my name in wisdom does not just want to go down into that muddy Jordan. All know what does it take to humble my wretched pride. Oh yes, I must be saved, but I do not want to be saved in this way. My righteousness, that is not so soon filthy rags. I am not immediately with that publican so that I dare not to lift up my eyes to heaven. And that I am smiting upon my breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I am not immediately there. Even though that I must be saved. Oh, I do not yet agree that I must be saved. Oh, my strength and my ability, that is not so soon weak. And my desire to be reconciled to God. No, there is something we need to learn. Not only that I must be saved, but also that I must be saved. Therefore, a life of disappointments. Therefore, a life, often many years, of discouragements. Therefore, a life, often many years, failing from my own sight. We must be saved. What a lesson. What a difficult lesson. What a humbling lesson. What a lesson so contrary to my flesh. But a lesson so necessary. So necessary. Why? Because that is the lesson that is making room for that one name. But we hope to consider that after we sing Psalter 416, 1, 4, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, a thirst for thee I cry, God of life. Oh, when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 416.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Congregation, the name Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, that was a name that was despised by those builders. They set that name aside, just as a stone that was rejected in the building of that temple. That was a very serious matter. But we are no different than they. Not any of us. Because this name that needs to be made precious to a person in this life, was that name ever made precious unto you? There is a people that learn not to set that name aside. Know that we do by nature. There is a people that learn to cry out for this name. That is a people who must be saved. And why must they be saved? They must be saved because of their own helplessness. Oh, look at everyone that has cried out after this name in this world. Every one of them was from their own side a hopeless case. Every one of them had an incurable disease. Leprosy, lameness, blindness, deafness, dumbness, all incurable. Oh no, it was not the Pharisees, it was not the scribes, it was not the rich young ruler. No, it was those who felt, those who experienced their inability to take away their own incurable disease that have cried out after this name. That is in a natural way. Oh, the Lord is setting this as a picture for us. Because everyone that learns to cry out after this name in a spiritual way, they will learn the incurability of their disease. What disease is that? Oh, that is the disease of sin. Oh, if we could deliver ourselves from sin, then that name would not be precious to us. Then we can leave him in his place. But now the experience in the life of that people, of that incurable disease. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, if I could only overcome it. But I cannot overcome it. And therefore I need another. Therefore I need to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation. Salvation from sin. That is the particular work of the Son of God. Sent by the Father into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. His name we read that is given. It is given under heaven among men. Given by whom? Given by the Father. And why given by the Father? Because the Father knew that it would be impossible for a man to save himself from sin. Oh, it would be possible for him to fall into sin, as so that he is in an awful, a deep and miry pit. But he knew it would be impossible that he raised himself out of that pit. That he could never deliver himself from it. Therefore, what we read,
We read that he says, "Mine own arm has brought salvation unto me, and my righteousness that has sustained me. Neither is there salvation in any other." The word congregation of the Lord. And so it is experienced also in the life of that true church of God. No, not in one day, but in the end. Oh, they are going so to agree with the apostle. Neither is there salvation in any other. One minister put it this way. He says, first, it is me. Then, it is me and Christ. Then, it is Christ and me. And finally, it is Christ alone. All they will learn to agree with the apostle. There neither is there salvation in any other. And what a fountain. Oh, what a fountain of salvation is experienced in that name by a people who cannot save themselves, who have no power. That lame man, oh children, one moment, one word. And that man, we read, he leaped up and he stood. He was more than 40 years old. He leaped up and leaping and walking and praising God. Oh, that man entered into that temple of the Lord. So complete was that cure of that man in one moment. Is there not a lame church? Is there not a lame church that may experience the same? Oh, that has to say with the apostle, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" Who? I cannot deliver myself. No, it is the experience of my life. And if I would have to restore myself into that blessed communion with the Lord whom I left in paradise, if I would not have to do it, Paul says, impossible. Impossible. A law that is in my members. And it is there to stay in my members to the last breath of my life. So, so impossible. And in all his impossibility, what may he say? Oh, he may say, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other." Oh, congregation, if that name may even merely be revealed in the life of a person, that spiritually lame person, oh, then already he begins to leap and to stand. No, we do not say that he is in that moment reconciled to God, but what does he see? Oh, he sees because of his sin, there was no way back. No way back. And now he sees that despite his sin, there is a way back. Why? Because of that one name. Because of him who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when that people, that lame people, lame to obey all the commandments of God, when that lame people may only behold that way. Or what does Isaiah say? He says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. and the ears of the deaf, they shall be unstopped. Old and the lame man, he shall leap as an hart. Oh, then there is a sufficiency, an all-sufficiency seen in that mediator, so that it is possible for even such a one as I also to be reconciled to God through this name. And congregation, if the Lord will lead also to the application in the life of that people, then that possibility, the possibility for which that people did rejoice in that day of the revelation of that name, then that possibility becomes a reality. Room will be made for that too, by renewal, by a greater descension into that awful pit, even by the losing of our own life, God's justice. God's justice must be satisfied. And that people will also come to agree with it. But when that judge speaks, then it is going to be experienced by the people what it is to be saved from sin by this name. Because then they will experience, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And that is now so perfectly finished that he beholds no transgression in his Jacob and no perverseness in his Israel. Congregation, neither. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What shall it be if we would continue to despise that name? What shall it be if we, as those builders, would take that stone? It is not a beautiful stone, no. Not in the eyes of the natural man. What if all our life long we would continue to set this stone aside? It will be a fatal mistake. We will know that mistake forever and forever. Oh, abhor, abhor yourself, because there is no room in your heart for the Son of God, whom the Father has sent into the world to save from sin. Abhor, abhor yourself, that you see no form, that you see no comeliness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abhor yourself for it. And seek, congregation, to know your sin, that this may become to you a burden, and that he may find a place in your heart also, so that you do not perish forever. Oh, the Pharisees and the scribes, they can rant and they can rage against that name. But do you know what they cannot do? They cannot take away what that man received. They cannot take it away. Do you know what the psalmist says? He says, I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he set me in a large place. Oh, when the Lord sets his people in a large place, then no one can take it away. Satan raged against the creation of God, and he became an instrument to his fall. And that is why now we must
be saved. But Satan, he continues to rage against the redemption of the church of God. But the salvation of that lame people that is grounded and founded in eternity upon this one name given under heaven among men. Or is your salvation also grounded there? Amen. Oh Lord, we need to see. We need an impression, a saving impression, that we must be saved. We do not see it by nature. Oh, it was but a few words, Lord, but may thou bring it in the heart of young and old, that we may feel our need, and that this name of Jesus, may not be despised by us. Remember us in mercy. Bring us safely to our homes. With desire in thy house again this afternoon, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 112:1-4. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known, thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown. 1:3-4 of Psalter 112. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.